Look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp. Use Gillette Blue Blades with the sharpest edges ever honed. Gillette's cavalcade of sports is on the air. From Ebbets Field in Brooklyn, Gillette presents the exclusive play-by-play report of the fourth game of the 1949 World Series between the New York Yankees and Brooklyn Dodgers. Good afternoon, baseball fans everywhere. This is Mel Allen with Red Barber, greeting you for the Gillette Safety Razor Company, maker of world-famous Gillette razors, blades, and shaving creams. Yes, and it's because so many of you fans use these products that Gillette is able to broadcast and telecast major sports events, including the Kentucky Derby, football bowl games, and top-flight boxing attractions for your entertainment. So enjoy the tops in sports by tuning in Gillette's cavalcade of sports the year around. This series, there's a big hand for all these Dodger stars of 1916. And Miss Gladys Gooding is playing Auld Lang Syne. Jeff Pepper, Nap Rucker, Zach Wheat, Otto Miller, Chief Myers, Rube Marquard. Boy, names to conjure with as you look back through baseball history. And those who were unable to attend today, Jack Coombs, now baseball coach at Duke University, Duster Mayles, now doing work on the West Coast, Fred Merkel, first baseman, now living in Daytona Beach, Florida. No longer living are manager Wilbert Robinson of that 16 team, Ed Appleton, a pitcher, first baseman Jake Daubert, third baseman Harry Mowry, and Sherrod Smith. As a matter of fact, Sherrod Smith just passed away not long ago. And if you want to go back into history, in that 1916 World Series, there was a guy in there pitching named Babe Ruth for the Boston Red Sox. And it was in that series when the longest game ever played in the history of the Fall Classic. The Dodgers lost to the Red Sox in the 14th inning. Babe Ruth, who won the 2-1 decision, passed on last year, and Sherry Smith, who pitched for the Dodgers in that game, also passed along recently. And now the lineups for today's game. For the New York Yankees, Phil Rizzuto leading off playing shortstop, hitting second, and playing first base, Tommy Henrick. Batting third is Yogi Berra and catching. Hitting fourth, Joe DiMaggio, center field. Hitting fifth, Bobby Brown, third base. Hitting sixth, Gene Woodling, left field. Batting seventh, Cliff Mapes, right field. Hitting eighth, Jerry Coleman, second base. In the ninth spot in the order and pitching, Eddie Lopat, who won 15 and lost 7 for the Yankees in the regular season. For the Dodgers, a change by Bert Schotten. Leading off, as usual, will be captain and shortstop Pee Wee Reese. Hitting second, Eddie Mixis, third base. In the third spot in the order will be Duke Snider playing center field. In the cleanup spot, Jackie Robinson, second base. Hitting fifth, Gil Hodges, first base. Batting sixth, Louis Almo, left field. Hitting seventh today will be Roy Campanella, catching. In the eighth spot in the order, Gene Hermansky, playing right field. And in the ninth spot, pitching Don Newcomb. Carl Farrillo normally would be playing today, but that injury of his, that groin injury, has hampered him considerably. He has attempted magnificently to play in the series for the Dodgers. A great outfielder, a great thrower, and a fellow who had been murdering that ball in the last couple of months of the season. But when injuries hamper you, it's just rough and tough. And though he gave it a great try, Bert Schotten realizes he had to go with Gene Hermansky today in place of Farrillo in right field. Gene, a left-hand batter against a left-hand pitcher. But sometimes there are certain left-handed batters who can hit left-hand pitchers as well as others, particularly when it comes to the type of stuff the left-hander delivers, and Lopat is a slow-stuff type pitcher. The umpires for today at the plate will be Lou Jorda of the National League. At first base will be Cal Hubbard of the American League. At second base will be Beans Reardon of the National League. And at third base, Art Passarella of the American League. The foul line umpires will be Ed Hurley and George Barr, with Hurley in left field today and Barr in right field today. The umpires are moving down to their positions after the meeting at home plate, with Reese and Stengel exchanging batting orders. Stengel stops, and Lopez chats with him with a smile on his face and then continues to warm up. Don Newcomb's still warming up. You know, among other things I never knew till now is the fact that since 1910, under our American economic system, we have more than doubled the production of each of us for every hour we work, and in the same period have reduced our average work week by 18 hours. This spectacular progress, unmatched anywhere else in the world, has gone hand in hand with the preservation of our basic freedoms. We still have a long ways to go, a lot of faults to correct, economic, human, and otherwise, but the fact remains that our American economic system has brought more benefits to more people than any other ever devised by man. Learn more about it. Drop a postcard to Gillette, Box 10, Times Square Station, New York City, for the free booklet, The Miracle of America, which explains how a still better living can be had for all. The umpires have taken their places. In a moment, we shall have the playing of the national anthem by Miss Gladys Gooding, whom Red told you about yesterday, who sings and the anthem and plays the organ here at Ebbets Field. And while there go the Dodgers trotting out onto the field, and as they rush to their positions, we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Hear the World Series exclusively on WOR. See it on WOR TV, Channel 9, WOR and WOR FM, New York.
The Dodgers are out on the field. Bill Rizzuto is coming out of the Yankee dugout with a couple of bats. Don Newcomb walks out to the hill. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Gladys Gooding and our national anthem. Set to go in the fourth game of the World Series. Each of the first three have gone right down to the last pitch. The tension has been terrific. Every one of them decided in the ninth inning and right down to the last pitch before you could know which team had finally won. And now, as we get ready to go, moving into the microphone, a fellow who has done a brilliant job of reporting in this World Series, as he has in every previous World Series he's done, dating way back to 1935. I refer, of course, to the old redhead, Red Barber.
Thank you, Mel. Just trying to keep up with you. Afternoon, everybody. Big Newcomb is throwing down to Campanella. Rizzuto is getting ready to be the first hitter for Game 4. And this program comes to you by authority of the Commissioner of Baseball. It is intended only for the private use of our audience. Any publication or reproduction of this program and commercial use of the program is prohibited. As Mel told you, it's an overcast afternoon. All the folks are here. The weatherman says that it will not rain. The temperature is in the middle 70s and the humidity is quite high. And the humidity is expected to get higher. In other words, it's an afternoon for perspiration. The air is quite heavy and quite muggy. The Yankees lead of the three games played, 2-1. Rizzuto, who is 1-for-11 so far. Small right-hand batter, Very active. Big Newcomb coming back for the second time on 2 days' rest. Big right-hander throws. Fastball inside. Ball one. Newcomb and Campanella the battery. The infield. Hodges at first. Robinson at second. Reese at short. Eddie Mixes with the left-hander. Eddie Lopat starting for the Yankees is at third. He's a right-hand hitter. Omoh in left field and center Snyder and the right fielder Hermanski. Newcomb delivers. A fastball swung on and drilled for a base hit out into center field. So Rizzuto comes up with his second hit of the series and begins this ball game sharply. So Rizzuto opens up with a single. Sharply out in the center. One up and one on. The first hit off Newcomb when he started the opening game of the series didn't come until Lindell's single with one out in the second inning. In other words, Newcomb retired the first four men, if you're interested in any sort of a comparison such as that. It is no score. And time is called for the moment. Campanella is calling over to the Brooklyn bench. Omoh in left field wants his sunglasses. The sun has not broken through the overcast, but it has made enough penetration to where there is a glare coming down. So the fielder Omoh figures that discretion is certainly the better part of valor, and this World Series game is held up. Newcomb is now tossing a few pitches down. Sunglasses have not yet been discovered in the Brooklyn bench to be taken out to left fielder Omoh, who's walked in behind shortstop. We might give you a little note on Don Newcomb coming back after 2 days' rest. Manager Shotton said before the ball game, we were talking to him, he said that he wasn't going to announce that Newcomb was going to be the starting pitcher, but he was going to talk to Newcomb. There's Rex Bonney loping out with those sunglasses for left fielder Omoh now. And Shotton said that he was going to ask Newcomb how he felt about pitching with 2 days' rest. If Newcomb said he felt okay, then he'd go. Newcomb said he didn't feel okay with just 2 days' rest, he wouldn't go. Because, said manager Shotton, when you realize it, it's these players' money that they're playing for. As a manager, I don't even have a vote for a share. So Newcomb apparently told manager Shotton he was ready, willing, and able. So here he is on the mound. Rizzuto has touched him up for a line single. He's at first base. Perhaps the best and most dangerous base runner for the Yankees. And the batter is Tommy Henry. Pitch, curve, low inside for ball one. On ball, no strikes. It's a smokyish, hazyish, very much the overcast, high humidity, warm afternoon. Temperature in the 70s. Big crowd on hand. Headed by Commissioner Chandler. Had a lot of dignitaries attending these games. Mrs. Truman, Mrs. Coolidge, ex-President Hoover, the mayor, and of course the borough presidents, Jim Lyons of the Bronx, John Cashmore of the Brooklyn. Now here's the pitch to Henrik, swung on a high foul ball out of play, back of the Brooklyn bench. One ball, one strike. You can look down seat by seat behind their respective dugouts, and there are the big wheels, of course, of baseball and the many other walks of life. Tommy Henrik, left-hand batter. He has one for 11 at one. Beat Newcomb in the first game. There's a pitch out, but Rizzuto wasn't going anyplace. Ball two. Two balls, one strike. Frankie Crosetti, with that high piping voice that carries so well, coaching at third. Very alert, quick moving, quick thinking fellow. Bill Dickey, one of the great all-time catchers of the game, coaching at first. Rizzuto leads off, no score, nobody out. Henry hits a ground foul and dies as it goes over toward the first base stand, rolled right up against the box in front of Commissioner Chandler. Two balls, two strikes. Rizzuto, who can scamper. He bothered Newcomb, if you recall, when he got on base in game one of the World Series back at the stadium. Rizzuto got on with a, in that first game, with a force out. Sixth inning. At 2-2, Newcomb takes first pitches. Henrik swings, grounds it foul sharply, back of first base. Ball comes off. First base coach Bill Dickey throws it out. No score. Gillette Safety Razor Company. very pleased and privileged to send you this broadcast of the World Series. Henrik chokes that stick a little bit. All reliable, they call him, at the stadium. Newcomb delivers as a ground ball hit to first, just fouled by a foot. Big Cal Hubbard, who moves extremely easily for any size man, and especially as big as he is. Hubbard giving the out sign. Two balls, two strikes. I remember a few years ago talking to George Halas, the coach and owner of the Chicago Bears, and I guess about as good a judge of professional football players as anybody's ever seen. I asked him who was the toughest football player that he had ever been in contact with and knew anything about. And Halas said without any hesitancy, Cal Hubbard. It's the guy that's umpiring at first. Players don't storm at him too long, we might add in. Lou Jordan working balls and strikes back at the plate. Hubbard at first, Ridden at second. Passarella is at third. Throw to first, not in time. Down the left field corner is Ed Hurley. In the right field corner, George Ball. No score. Newcomb with deliberation, ready to pitch again. 2-2 does. Henry hits a ground foul outside first base. Ball kicks back over. And first base umpire Hubbard throws her up. Still 2-2. Henrik in spinning on that ball. Kicked a little dirt on the plate and Jordan brushes it off. It is continuing to get brighter and more glarish. The, what's it, as they say down east in New England, that the sun is burning it off? That seems to be what's happening. The weatherman has certainly not missed a single prediction. He said it would finally be clearer this afternoon, and it's becoming clear right now. It looks like in another inning or so, it will be completely clear if it keeps on at the present gait. All right, Newcomb set 2-2, nobody out, no score, run at first, throw to first again. Rizzuto takes his lead. He's quick. He has an extremely rapid lateral move, which any good base runner must have. The pitch is swung on, a high foul ball back of the Yankee dugout. Still 2-2. Of course, one of the great strengths of humanity is the feeling for other people, memory, sentiment. And that's one of the great strengths of baseball. And that was certainly very vividly shown before this ball game began. When, as the guest of President Branch Rickey of the Brooklyn Ball Club, those members who could get here of the 1916 pennant-winning team were introduced. Henrik swings a ground ball, hit into right field for a base hit. Rizzuto goes down to second base, then goes on for third. Hermanski's throw over to third base is not in time, and Henrik holds it first. So it's a single in the right by Henrik, and the Yankees are pressing forward with men at first and third and nobody out, and the Brooklyn bullpen gets up and goes to work. Joe Hatton needed to start throwing to the bullpen catcher Sam Naron. So Henrik comes up with his second hit of the World Series. It's the second hit of this fourth game, and all of his hits are off Don Newcomb. This is a clean single to right. Rizzuto, who can run, got a good jump, took the extra base. Reese comes in from short, talks to Newcomb for the moment. So Newcomb has now got one foot in the pickle vat. Yogi Berra catching his third game. He has no hits out of six official at-bats, but he got a very telling base on balls that went out in the ninth inning yesterday. Outfield toward right. The infield is in double play depth. In other words, they'll give a run to get outs. Runners at first and third. Newcomb's pitch low inside. A slider, and Berra checked his swing in time. Ball one. Now Robinson comes in from second base. Says something to Don. Campanella goes out to the mound. Left hand to Joe Hatton, who's been in the bullpen every day. Been throwing for the last couple of days, is now throwing today. It's no score, but the Yankees are pushing forward here at the opening bell. No man retired. Yogi Berra, stocky, strong, free-swinging left-hand batter at the plate. One ball, no strikes. DiMaggio waiting on deck. Then Bobby Brown. Rizzuto, who can fly, leading down off third. He just took the extra base, which is an important thing in this business of baseball. Henrik, who is a good runner, although not too swift. He knows how to run, leads off first. The infield halfway up. The pitch is swung on, fouled off. One ball, one strike. Nobody has gone down to the Yankee bullpen at all. In fact, I see Joe Page probably doesn't even know how to act. He's sitting right there against the water cooler in the dugout. I guess he feels a stranger hanging around that dugout. What a job he did yesterday. Well, now let's see. Big Newcomb, ready. Right-hander pitches. There's a ground foul outside first base. It's 1-2. 1-2. Don Pooling with the pitcher's Rosenbag. Rizzuto and Henrik have opened up with singles, if you just joined us on Gillette's broadcast of the World Series. No score, and the Yankees are trying to give Newcomb a rough time right here at the start. Casey Stengel walks in front of the dugout. Hollis set him up to Berra. The 1-2 pitch. Hit down to third base. Here comes the throw to the plate, and Rizzuto is caught in a runner. Campanella throws the ball back to Mixes, bluffs him into third base, tags him, runs him out of the baseline, and Henrik is called out second base, and Robinson tags him, and he's out. So, two men are out, no score, and Bella winds up at first. And now we've got a rhubarb. The Yankees are claiming, I think, that Jorda called time. That's what the Yankees are claiming. And the umpires say, no, he did not call time. Jorda had to call the out on Rizzuto, who was not tagged. He ran out. Now let's go back over that play with Rizzuto at third base. Henrik at first. Berra hit a solid ground ball, sharply at third baseman Mixes. Rizzuto came halfway to the plate and realized he was a dead bird and stopped. Mixes threw the ball to Campanella. Campanella running Rizzuto back toward third. Rizzuto tried to run around Campanella and ran out of line into foul ground and was called out by Jorda. Then Henrik, who had turned to the left too far at second base, was out when Campanella threw to Robinson. And Henrik immediately started to protest, claiming time had been called. But it had not. So two men are out. That's the first Brooklyn double play. No score. Barrett first. DiMaggio takes a curveball low outside for ball one. Well, you expect things to happen here at Ebbets Field. It does, sooner or later, and there it was. The Yankees got hung up on the bases, and I guess Casey Stengel said, hey, that used to happen when I was at Brooklyn. Throw, fastball, is too low, ball two. The Yankees, in this series, have come up with three double plays. This is the first one for Brooklyn. And that double play was the third baseman to the catcher to the second baseman. Assist for the third baseman, a put out, and an assist for the catcher, and a put out for the second baseman. DiMaggio swings, misses, throw to first base, not in time. Campanella will fire. Berra getting back. So your double play was 5-2-4 if you're scoring. And of course, that takes Newcomb out of quite a hole that was yawning for him. It looked as though the Yankees were just about ready to give him a very bad first inning. Well, let's see. Two down, no score. DiMaggio up. Takes a fastball outside for ball three, and the count is now 3-1. DiMaggio has had one hit for 11 official at-bats, and that was a dribble single down to third base. Berra, with a fielder's choice, is at first base. Newcomb off the mound, pulling with a handkerchief. Everybody's perspiring today, not only from the pressure of such a ball game, but from the weather. High humidity. Hatfield, deep toward left. There's ball four, and Berra was running. DiMaggio takes ball four. This is the first base on balls given up by Newcomb. He gave up no walks in the opening game. So, two men gone. The Yankees are at first and second. And Bobby Brown, who came up with a money base hit in the ninth inning. When the two down, he singled sharply into right field. Brown up. He has 1-for-5. He's a dangerous batter. Barrett second, DiMaggio at first. Two out, outfield toward right. Brown chokes that stick about 3 inches. Slender, left-hand hitter. Newcomb pitches, fastball low inside. That ball hit the dirt. Campanella trapped it. Plate umpire Jorda examines it, finds it's all right. 1-0. The sun that threatened to burn off the overcast early in this first inning has been unable to do so, and the clouds have moved back in again. That ball hit the dirt. Campanella trapped it. Played umpire Jordan examines it, finds it's all right. One ball, no strikes. The sun that threatened to burn off the overcast early in this first inning has been unable to do so, and the clouds have moved back in again. Barra ready to take off on any provocation at second base. Two down. DiMaggio at first. Right side of the infield back on Brown. Play him to pull. Young man who continues his studies down in New Orleans to be a doctor up there at the plate. Bobby Brown. Pitch is low. Down by the batter's feet. Ball two. Campanella again blocks it into the dirt. Played up by Jorda. Again demands the ball for an inspection. And finds it is scuffed up now and he throws it out. Two balls, no strikes, and Campanella goes to talk to Newcomb. Newcomb does not have the sharpness of his control today. That is obvious compared to the way he performed over at the stadium Wednesday. Two and all. Crowd quiet. Settle back. Ballpark all decked out in gala red, white, and blue bunting. Jack Collins and his crew done a fine job. Groundkeeper Eddie Durham has, of course, got the field just right. Little do you think about it, but the World Series is the big moment for the fellow who runs the park and the fellow who runs the field. Big for everybody. Now let's see. Big Newcomb ready to pitch 2-0. Does. Brown takes a high outside fastball for ball three. So Newcomb is now back in a hole. The double play alleviated some of the pressure. But then came the walk to DiMaggio. Time is called. And the pitching coach, Clyde Sukforth, goes out to the mound to talk to Newcomb. Three balls, no strike. Left-hander Joe Hatton, who shares the same honor as manager Stengel, being a boy from Oakland, California. Hatton throwing down the bullpen. Understand there's a proclamation from Oakland which is to be given tomorrow to Casey Stengel. So Suki's back in the dugout. Three balls, no strikes to Brown. You can rest assured that this is not what is called the automatic strike. Brown has gotten his orders from boss man Casey Stengel. Big Newcomb set. Pitches 3-0. High outside for ball four, and Brown walks, and the bases are loaded. So Barra, the move to second on DiMaggio's walk, now moves to third on Brown's walk as DiMaggio moves over to second. Three men on, and Gene Woodling stepping in. Had a fine year out in the Pacific Coast last year and is back for another trial in the majors. Had a very successful workmanlike season with the Yankees. No score. Had a double play, two hits, two walks, fielder's choice, three men are on, two out. Outfield toward right. Right-hander Newcomb's pitch is high outside, a fastball for ball one. He hasn't been particularly close to the plate on these walks. One ball, no strikes. Big rookie. Came up to the ball club in May. Wasn't even with it at the start of the season. He's carrying the hopes of Brooklyn trying to get even. Delivers. Too low. Over, but low. It's his slider for ball two. Two balls, no strikes. And Stengel has had a tight rein on these hitters. He's just letting Newcomb get into all the trouble that he can. As they say in baseball, Stengel is seeing to it that his hitters do not help the pitcher. Now that you get a pitcher wild, a lot of managers want batters to take. The 2-0 pitch. In there. There's a throw down to third base. Not in time. Campanella trying to help his pitcher, as the saying goes. Tried to pick Barra off third. Barra took a run up the line. While the throw was reasonably close, it wasn't dramatically close. Barra had to slide back. All right, two balls, one strike. Woodling had the take on just now. Left-hand hitter in a crouch. Crowds of faith from behind. The pitch is swung on. There's a fly ball into center field. Snyder going back, back. He's under it. He's got it. For the third out, a no-run score. So at the end of half an inning, the score is New York nothing, Brooklyn nothing. Friends, I'll never have a better chance to tell you about the whale of a shaving bargain that my Gillette folks have dreamed up for series time this year. Now, call it Gillette's World Series Special. The razor set that they're talking about on the air, and any storekeeper will know what you mean. Yep, he'll show you the improved Gillette Super Speed razor set, the shaving buy of your lifetime. Men, this razor is a beautifully balanced one-piece razor that changes blades instantly and shaves like nobody's business. With it comes a Gillette dispenser filled with 10 factory-sharp Gillette blue blades. Not only that, but the newest thing in razor cases, the durable, transparent styrene case. Now, all this adds up to $1.75 value, and it's yours for $1 even. These Gillette Super Speed razor sets are selling like hotcakes. Better ask for yours right away. The stocky southpaw, Eddie Lopat, who is a pitcher with the same sort of philosophy and stuff and delivery as Preacher Rowe, although one has been eaten at the bigger end of the trough than the other one, as far as physique is concerned. Lopat gives you knucklers, screwballs, slow curves, and uses his fastball as a changeup, as well as trying to pick a corner of the plate once in a while. Eddie Lopat getting ready. It's his first start in the series. Back of the plate is Yogi Berra. Henrik at first base, at second Coleman, at shortstop Rizzuto, the third baseman is Brown. In the outfield, it's the same as started yesterday. For the Yankees, in left it is Woodling, in center DiMaggio, and in right field Mapes. Berra takes the last of the warm-up pitches, fires it down to second base. Reese, Mixis, and Snyder hitting for the Dodgers. No score. And Newcomb was really wading around in hot water, but he didn't get scalded. That double play pulled him out of it. Reese, who has had two hits for 10 at-bats, won a home run. First up, right-hand batter. The Yankee outfield is around toward left. Left-hander Lopat pitches and gets, looked like a slider in up there against the hands for a called strike. He throws some of anything. Knuckles, screwballs, sliders, curves. Stocky left-hander deals. There's a curveball hit out into left center field. It is in there for a base hit and extra base. Reese is around first. He's coming into second base. DiMaggio takes the ball on the bounce. It's a double as Reese comes in standing. The Brooklyn captain, Pee Wee Reese, just teed off on a curveball and straightened it out, hung it up the alley in left center field. Woodling went over, couldn't get to the ball, and then fell to the ground deliberately to get out of the way of DiMaggio's throw. So this promises in game four to be a riotous afternoon before it's concluded. The fourth games, oddly enough, between the Yankees and the Dodgers have always taken place at Brooklyn, and they've always had something dramatic. Game 4 and 41 was the Mickey Orne third strike. Game 4 and 47 was the Lavagetto-Bevins affair. Eddie Mixis hits a ball in front of the plate. Fair. Berra recovers, throws to first base. Mixis is out and Reese is held at second. So, Mixis swinging on the first pitch, beats it right down in front of the plate. Berra handled himself very well. The catcher firing down to first base from Henrik. So, we have one out last of the first. Reese at second. And Snyder, who has one hit for 12 at-bats. Left-hand batter, tall, slender. Right fielder Mapes plays him straight away. DiMaggio in center is veered over toward left a little bit. Left fielder Woodling straight away. Time is called. Pitcher Lopat wants to talk to his battery mate. So Yogi goes out to the mound. Lopat in no hurry. He fusses with you and tries to finesse you and tries to get you off balance and gives you some of that slow stuff and tries to make you hit a breaking pitch or a bad ball. Now, if you're itchy up there at the plate, boy, that Lopat really won't help you. See, Snyder leans in, Lopat delivers. It's a big curve high outside, ball one. Lopat got a big kick out of talking with Mel and me the other day, talking about how we try and describe what the pitches are. And he said, well, when I work, I'll give you boys a workout. Reese, off second, one out, no score. Left-handed pitches, the fastball swung on, hit wide of third. Up with it is Brown nicely. The throw over to first base in time. Snyder's out for two steps, and Reese is still bottled at second. Two. Two are gone. And Robinson stepping in. He has one hit for nine at-bats so far in the series. Outfielder on toward left. Jake Fittler coaching at first base. Hollis up second to the plate. Milton Stock coaching at third. Reese now ready to take off on anything with two out at second base. No score. Lopat, who's settled right down, delivers. Robinson swings, hits it through to short. Rizzuto, a nice play over to first base, into the dirt, and Henrik jugged it. Whoop! Robinson is out. Henrik just did get that ball on the skip. It looked for a second like he might juggle it, but he stayed with it. So, that is all. Rizzuto made a fine play. Just like a quick bug, he scooted over toward second base, toward his left-hand side, came up with the ball, and he had to take it right off of Reese's feet as Pee-wee delayed trying to shield the infielder from the side of the ball, which is a trick which accomplished base runners use all the time. But Rizzuto made the play. His hard throw was into the dirt, and Henrik just did stay with it. That's something when you have to dig him out. So that's all for a threat for each side. So we've had an exciting but a scoreless first inning. Newcomb, hoping that he's over his wild streak, is ready to pitch in the second inning. And we'll pause 10 quick seconds for station identification. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
The World Series is heard exclusively on WOR. See it on WOR TV, Channel 9, WOR and WOR FM, New York.
Moving into the second inning, it's the last third of the Yankee hitting list of nine. Right fielder Mapes, a left-hand batter, followed by Jerry Coleman, who now is tied with Pee-wee Reese for the most hits in the series, each possessing three, and then pitcher Lopat, who hasn't been up in the series. This is his first appearance. Mapes, 0 for 5, left-hand batter. Very much a hazy-ish, overcast afternoon. It's extremely warm. Muggy. Big right-hander. Delivers. Fastball too high, and it is ball one. Newcomb 6'5", 230 pounds. He's big. Outfield toward right. Mapes. Sort of a slenderish 6-foot left-hand hitter. Swings as a bounding ball that Newcomb grabs at the mound. Throws over to first base to Hodges, and Mapes is out. So the hot bounder, the pitcher speared. So one up, one gone, opening up the second inning. No score. And here is Jerry Coleman, who bratted in the fourth, and as it paid off the winning run for the Yankees yesterday. Coleman has had a fine series, played very well at second base. He's had three hits for 11 at-bats. Outfield straight away, infield straight away. Coleman works upon the handle of that bat. Newcomb slider misses on the outside, ball one. Don doesn't call that quick curve of his a slider. He calls it a hard curveball. Everybody else calls that sort of pitch a slider. That's become, the one of the most overworked words in baseball in the last 5 years. 1-0 pitch, fastball swung on, a high foul. Campanella coming back close to the stands. Close to the stands, he's got it. So, a catch of the foul ball by the catcher, two men out. No score. And pitcher Lopat is over at the Yankee bat rack. Hasn't found his stick as yet. Now he's got it. Here he comes, walking easy up to the plate. He's a nonchalant sort of a fella. Lopat, left-hand hitter. Stocky. Thick through the shoulders and chest. Light red hair. Outfield, shaded toward right. Newcomb's fastball is in there for a call strike. Nothing in one. Two down, nobody on. Second inning. Things moving easily now after the frenetic first inning that we had on both sides, especially for the Yankees. Pitch outside. One ball, one strike. Packed stands rather quiet for the second. Just waiting. One pitch. Curve swung on and missed. One and two. Sharp curve ball at the knees. One ball, two strikes. Lopat swings from the end. He stands up there like a workman with that stick. The sun is getting through a little brighter. Sort of glary. The one and two pitch is swung on, a fly ball out into deep and dead center field. Snyder is back, turns, waits. He has it, and nothing across. The Yankees in the top of the second inning. And it is still no runs in the ball game. And folks, when I tell you that Red Rolf, former Yankee third baseman, who did such a great job managing the Detroit Tigers this year, looks mighty sharp today, well, you know, I know, he uses Gillette Blue Blades. Yep, and here he is to tell you why.
Fans, I'm like you. I have only one face, and I don't go for nicking and scraping it. So I use Gillette Blue Blades. You can't beat them.
Red, how do you like the Gillette dispenser?
It's a real convenience. Makes blade changing lots easier.
Men, for slick, comfortable shaves that make your face look its best and feel refreshed, get hep to Gillette Blue Blades. Yep, and for extra convenience at no extra cost, buy 10 or 20 at a time in the modern Gillette dispenser that zips them out unwrapped, ready for use. Look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp. Use Gillette Blue Blades with the sharpest edges ever heard. Well, Red, one more question. How do you feel about this ball game today? Do you sort of sense or smell something?
Yes, I think there's going to be a lot happen today, Red. The pitching doesn't look quite as sharp as it has in the first three ball games. Newcomb, for one thing, is much more unsteady than he had been in his previous start.
Okay, Red.